Thank you. And thank you to the organizers for the invitation. I'm enjoying my time here. So I'm going to talk about Dirac operators, and in particular, harmonic spinners and square integrable harmonic spinners on homogeneous spaces. And sort of the ultimate goal is to realize unitary representation, irreducible unitary representations. And so let's... Peter broke all the chalk. Okay. So G is a Lie group. Let's say a semi-simple, could be reductive way. And K, maximal compact subgroup. And let's write the Cartan decomposition like this, with an S. We'll have a P for a parabolic later. And the Killing form is non-degenerate here. And that means that, that means that there is a spin representation, well, I should say a Clifford algebra on S and a spin representation of SO, SOS. And K, the algebra K, by the adjoint representation inside SOS. And so that gives the spin representation, I'll call it S sub S, spin representation of K. Then if we take a finite dimensional representation E sub mu of K. Well, let me more accurately, K. And here mu will be the highest weight. So we'll label it by highest weight. Then I guess we assume that this is a representation of group K, right? Sometimes you have to pass through a double cover or something, but we'll assume that this is a representation of K. And there is a Dirac operator. Well, first of all, there's a corresponding homogeneous bundle. I'll write it like this on G mod K. And I'll write sections of the bundle as C infinity G mod K E tensor S. This little sub S here. And there's a Dirac operator on sections. So let me write down what that is. It's certainly well known. We take an orthonormal basis of S, and the Dirac operator from sections of the bundle to itself is df of g is the sum of, how about if I just write this, let me write it like this. D is the sum of right translation of the vector field, tensor 1 on here, tensor Clifford multiplication here. So that's the Dirac operator. and a great theorem, an old theorem, is that this is Parthasarathy. Oops. And also the and it says that the space of square integrable harmonic spinners is a discrete series representation. So let me write that like this. Let's define this, because I'll use this sort of notation later. That's the set of sections that are harmonic and square integrable. And each discrete series representation occurs this way. Okay, so in a sense, this is a great theorem because it gives you all the discrete series realized in a nice, concise, geometric way as a Hilbert space of sections. And a couple of things to observe. One is that D is elliptic. And so, you know, you get your Hilbert space inside smooth functions and so forth. And also, this may seem kind of dumb to say now, but the form on S is positive definite. You know, that way you can say, well, positive definite on S, and since K is compact, maybe that's more the point, K is compact, E tensor S has a K invariant positive permission form. And so that's what this is, right? F of G is in here, and we can take the norm. When we go to homogeneous spaces where K is not compact, then we don't necessarily have such a positive definite form. Okay, so that's one thing that we'll get to in a little bit. Okay, so I guess the question is, how do you make, what happens for other homogeneous spaces? How do you get, well, it would be nice to get a Hilbert space, it's irreducible, with an invariant inner product. And that's maybe asking a little bit too much, but what can you say for other homogeneous spaces? And I guess the first example is to take H in place of K, but contained in K. Then, this little remark that the form on S is positive definite, we have to be a little bit careful now. What we have is G is H plus Q, where Q is H per. So that corresponds to the Cartan decomposition. This will be the tangent space, the identity. And okay, so we still have this form on here, which is non-degenerate, but now it's not positive definite. But it's not a big deal. We could we can find a positive definite form on Q because H is compact. Oh, I'm sorry. It should be a positive definite H invariant. So we need it to be an H invariant form. Well, we want to integrate it, and this must be well defined on G mod H. When you bring the H out, it has to be well defined. So since H is compact, we still have a positive definite form. So what we do is we build a spin representation of H. We'll call it S sub Q now. And so you can ask, what is such a harmonic space? Okay, well, that formula for the Dirac operator is not the right Dirac operator. Okay, so what we have to do is we have to get the right Dirac operator. And this is sort of exactly what Peter was talking about. A crucial formula for this case is that the square of the Dirac, so I'll say, what if I say for G mod K, D squared is, right translation by the Casimir operator, minus mu plus rho minus squared minus rho, the rho for H squared. And this fails for G mod H if you use the same Dirac operator. Well, no, because my E is, I mean, I've sort of, it's acting on E, so that's how you get this part. You might be thinking, yeah. I mean, for instance, if you write this all in the enveloping algebra, then yes, you would. Okay, so the correct Dirac operator is Costin's cubic Dirac operator. And I will say what that is in a couple minutes, but let me just say why real quick here. Okay, so again, I'll write down exactly what it is in a minute, but two properties that this has that are important are, one, a good formula for the square, like this, and also, I should probably give myself more room here, also it... behaves well under induction in stages. So why don't I say it like this? And so what I mean is, if you have, well, let me just write it this way. We already have our H inside K inside G. Then if you identify C infinity of G mod H, with C infinity G mod K, C infinity K mod H, And, well, we could split apart the spin parts. Why don't I just write it like this, though? About, well, I guess I don't have a good letter for it. I'll just call it an S. This is the spin for K mod H, and then the one for T mod K. Then the Dirac operator here, I'll put this in quotes. You have to write it correctly. But it's essentially the Dirac operator for G mod K plus the Dirac operator for K mod H. And that, again, does not hold unless you use Costin's cubic Dirac. Okay, and then the statement is pretty much like this, that H2 of, and I should have said over here, that the rank of G should be the rank of K, so that you have discrete series. So here we say the rank of H must be the rank of G, so also the rank of K, I guess. And the statement is, that this is a discrete series representation with the inner product from integrating sections. Okay, so what is Costin's cubic Dirac operator? So the setting is homogeneous space, G mod H, where H is reductive. And you have to make a very small assumption here, and that is that the killing form is non-degenerate on H. The killing form of G is non-degenerate. Degenerate on H. That's almost no condition. And then write G as H plus Q, and you get a spin representation of SOQ restricted to H. And one thing to notice that now killing form on Q is, well, it's non-degenerate because it is on H and Q is the orthogonal complement. But it's no longer positive definite, and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, if H is non-compact, for instance. So typically, indefinite. Okay, so the cubic Dirac operator is, at least to get started, is similar. This is a basis such that basis of Q, so that Xj, Xk is either plus or minus 1 delta jk. So almost an orthonormal basis. And then the Dirac operator is the sum xj 1 tensor multiplication plus another term. And this term is added to get the square to have a good formula. And the term is 1 plus, the 1 tensor Clifford multiplication by C. And C is the following. I'll write it two ways. C is a third degree element in the Clifford algebra that corresponds to the three form X, Y bracket C, so the sort of standard three form. And the formula for it is the sum J, K, L, X, J, X, K, X, L, X, J, X, K, X, L. Okay, so this added term is some third degree thing. That's why it's called the cubic Dirac operator. It's still a first order G invariant operator, differential operator. And it has a good formula. Square, like this. And I should say that the definition, I should say over here, the definition is from Kostin in 1999. And he also at the same time proved the formula for the square. Then it also has, I should say, is good with respect to induction in stages, as I said over here. And it comes from a G invariant connection, which is sort of how Dirac operators come. And one other comment. If when H is K, or any other symmetric subgroup, then S is Q, S for the Cartan decomposition, S bracket S is in K, which is perpendicular to S. So S bracket S is in K, perpendicular to S, so that extra term is zero. That's why it didn't appear in the original theorem for G mod K. Okay, so the first question is the space of harmonic spinners non-zero? Okay, and we'll get to the L2 part later. And I guess I would like to make one more assumption at this point, that is that the rank of H is the rank of G. And so that's the complex rank. Not entirely necessary. Okay, so the question is the kernel of B non-zero? And the answer is yes. And I'll say sort of why here. But the point is that what I'm going to do is show how to get an intertwining map from a standard representation into the kernel. And that will show that the kernel is non-zero. But it'll also give a formula for harmonic spinners, and with that formula, you can study the growth of the spinner. So an explicit formula is sort of the important thing here. So we want a G, an intertwining map. I'll call it P from what will turn out to be a standard representation, standard induced representation, parabolic and in fact a discrete series, into the kernel of D. So that's what we want. And let me sort of quickly write down a bunch of stuff, I hope it doesn't take too long, that shows where it comes from, where such an intertwining map comes from. So we're looking for something in HOM over G, C infinity, G mod P, W, into C infinity, G mod H, tensor spin. And the P and the W are yet to be determined. Okay, we have to see what we need in the end. And this is HOM over H. Same thing here, E mu tensor SQ, simply by evaluating at the identity. I evaluate at the identity, lands you here. And this is H. I'm going to put this on the other side. And I'm going to put this on the other side. And this, the dual of this will be a space of distributions. And you get a dual here. And remember, with distributions, you have to tensor by a top degree form. Because we want the smooth functions with values in W to sit inside here, so you have to integrate against, and you get a twist by the bundle of forms. Okay, now that is contained in H. Same stuff. Same stuff here. And what I'm going to put here, notice I have it contained in, I'm going to take the distributions supported in a closed H orbit here. And again, there's a little bit of a twist with the some conormal bundle. And the smooth distributions supported in there are this. Now you can evaluate at the identity again. That'll be H intersect P. And then put the dual, switch sides and put the duals. Which means take the duals off. This is a W. I've been using meaning to use the script W for the bundle. Okay, so if we can find something here, we have an intertwining operator. And in fact, this is kind of a nice formula. If you have some T in here, then the corresponding intertwining operator is integration over H intersect K, L dot P, DGL. So kind of a simple formula. Now, one thing maybe is worth noting just for fun. If instead of, you know, some spin bundles or something, if we simply had the trivial representation here, then that means trivial representation here. And if H, I'm going to put it here, if H is K and E mu tensor S was replaced by the trivial representation, then, well, rho of H would be gone. And then you could take the trivial representation here. You'd have trivial to trivial, and T would just be the identity, and you would end up with the integral of H is K over K. Since it's the trivial representation, that L is gone. And it's this, which is exactly the Poisson transform from, for a minimal parabolic T, it's the Poisson transform, and it maps the standard representation to solutions of, to harmonic functions. So what I'm saying here is very much analogous to that. Okay. So our job is to decide what parabolic to use and what representation W. And at one step, I sort of said it, I didn't write anything down, I guess, but I said we looked at distribution supported in a closed submanifold in order to get from here up to there. So what we do is we take where A is maximal abelian in H intersect S. And I guess from the start I should have assumed that H was theta stable, so that this would make a little more sense. But nonetheless, you take A to be maximal abelian in here, MA is the centralizer, you have a parabolic. And in this case, H, the orbit of the identity coset, is closed in G mod P. So we're okay on that step. Then what should W be? Oh, sorry, another little fact here, which I'll use in a second, that M intersect H is compact. Okay, so the question is, what is W? Well, it's a discrete series representation. And now, I'm not going to say exactly what it is. It requires fussing around with little parameters. But what we do is we realize the M representation W. I mean, we can adjust the A action so that it's no problem. We can do that in the end. But the M representation W is a discrete series representation, which I'm going to realize as harmonic spinners on M mod M intersect H. And this being compact means what I said earlier applies to get a discrete series. And then what I don't want to go through is exactly what bundle. But the mu prime is some row shift business with respect to the original mu. Okay, and how do we get our T? Well, again, I'm not going to say exactly what it is, but part of the point is we adjust the mu prime so that it works properly. And here I do have to assume, I'll just say mu sufficiently regular. And exactly the condition is not so worthwhile. What do we have? We're looking for a T W to E mu tensor SQ. And W we evaluate at the identity and get to here. And then this part, I guess it would take a little bit of messing around to say exactly what it is. But this is a projection to some specially chosen V-naught inside here. So I'll just write it like that. And P is this mass. And the final formula for the intertwining mass is the integral over H intersect K, L dot this projection, C GL, that's in W, so we're evaluating at E here. So that's a fairly explicit formula for it. And the theorem is that the image of P under the under this condition is contained in the kernel of D. So it says the kernel is non-zero. There's a representation sitting inside there that we sort of know about. It's a standard representation, or a quotient of a standard representation. Okay, so that's half the story, and the rest of the story is trying to decide what square integrable means, and deciding if an L2 space of forms is non-zero and what it is, and then, we'll get that. The question is, what does square integrable mean? Here we have a section of a bundle. Where this stuff has typically has no H invariant positive Hermitian form. So we can't integrate, what do we integrate? And what we do is we sort of take an idea of Ronsley, Schmidt, and Wolf, who ran into a similar issue with forms, differential forms instead of spinners. And what we can do is we can define sort of an auxiliary norm, which is positive. It's not going to be a G invariant norm, so it's not going to give a unitary representation. But we define an L2 space with respect to that, and we'll be able to see that there is an invariant Hermitian form that lives on that space. So here, what we do is we have a little lemma that says if that highest weight mu inner product with all roots, G roots, is real, then there exists a positive definite Hermitian form on emu, so that it's well behaved with respect to H, at least. And I'll write that positive definite form with a little subpause here. Okay, and then a second lemma is that in the case that E has an invariant Hermitian form. Now remember, not all finite dimensional representations have an invariant Hermitian form. One condition for it to happen that's kind of convenient is that, well, we're talking about an H representation, so if H and H intersect K have the same rank, then there is an invariant, an H invariant Hermitian form, which will typically be indefinite signature. So the second little lemma here is that if emu has an H invariant Hermitian form, then then VW with respect to the invariant form is less than or equal to bounded by the positive form with a constant. Okay. Now, a little problem here is that we can't just say that this is finite, defines an L2 space, because this is not well defined on G mod H, unless this were. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I? Unless this were an H invariant form. Okay, so this doesn't even make sense. So we're going to erase that. And what we're going to do is use the Mostow decomposition. And the Mostow decomposition in this setting says that G can be written as K, X, Q, intersect S, X, H, intersect S. And I'll write a G here as K, G, X, X, G, X, Y, G. And over here, we go K, G, X, XG, and the integrand here is defined on G mod H. The form in the first lemma is H intersect K invariant, and that will show that this is well defined on G mod H. Okay, so the definition is that the harmonic space is a set of forms killed by the Dirac, and but if I do this, I'll put a square in here because that would be better, and I'll call that okay, and the theorem is that if H is symmetric, so H is fixed points of an involution, then it is non-zero. And as you can probably guess, the the proof is to show that that our intertwining map gives us an integral formula for L2 spinners. And then, in addition, if E mu has an invariant, an H invariant, permission form, then this lemma says that this all makes sense and is well defined. So one gets a Hermitian form on the space of spinners. And I think maybe I'm running out of time a little bit. But let me say what this has to do with, for instance, Dolbeau cohomology representations. Change gears for just a minute. If G mod L is an elliptic coadjoint orbit, and that's roughly saying that G mod L is an open G orbit on complex flag variety, then this has an invariant, a G invariant, complex structure. And one has a del bar operator from, and what I'll do here is I'll take to be a unitary character. Then there is a del bar operator. The next one. And there's also a del bar star operator, which I guess goes the other way. Goes down by degree. And I guess I should say that the corresponding Dolbeau cohomology representations are give a large family of representations. So let me just quickly say a few facts. These are all non-trivial facts due to many people over a number of years. And one is that each Dolbeau cohomology is a continuous representation. And that's a bit non-trivial because it's kernel mod image and image has to be closed. Images of differential operators aren't always closed, but in this case it is. And I'll say vanishing. If there is a positivity condition on the bundle for alpha root in U, then lots of things happen. get vanishing for M not equal to the dimension, we'll call it S, which is the dimension of K mod K intersect L. That's the maximal compact subvariety. And HS is irreducible. It's in fact unitarizable. Its Harris-Chandra module is an AQ lambda representation, and it is in fact a maximal globalization of the AQ lambda. Okay, so that's sort of saying, but an important question is, how do you realize the unitary representation? How do you get an explicit realization of it? You know it's unitarizable, but that doesn't tell you anything about the Hilbert space. So here is a, here are a little facts. Let's go back to the Dirac operator for a minute. On G mod L, D is, the spin representation, we have G, which is L plus Q, and Q, Q being the perp of L, is a U plus a U bar, its complexification. And the spin representation is the exterior algebra tensored a little tiny twist. And Costin's Dirac operator is del bar plus del bar star. So, for example, if you have a section for some particular degree here, then it's a harmonic section if and only if del bar and del bar star are zero. Okay, well, Rawnsley, Schmidt, and Wolf, some years ago, made such an attempt to realize these representations as Hilbert spaces of harmonic forms. And the sort of the strategy was to take each cohomology class, well, not each cohomology class, each K-finite cohomology class, and pick out a square integrable harmonic form. And that had success when G mod L was symmetric. And so that Rawnsley, Schmidt, and Wolf, and Barcini, and myself also. But still, G mod L symmetric was important. And here, what should I say in a couple minutes? Okay, so what one can do, well, let me say first that also there's some success of this method when L is, let's say, an L1 contained in an L2 up to an LM, which is G, where each, at each stage, this is an elliptic orbit. So, for instance, it has the G-invariant complex structure and is symmetric. And if you, so start looking at examples, you see that that doesn't really happen all that much. For UPQs, it happens, but for a symplectic group, it does not. So part of the point of looking at the Dirac operator was the following, and here is an example. L contained in H contained in G, but this is going to be STNR. This is STPR cross STQR. P plus Q is N. And the L is UP cross SPQR. So here, H mod L, G mod H are symmetric. And this one has the invariant complex structure. But this does not have the complex structure. And so why don't I just end by saying very, very roughly that one can construct L2 harmonic forms on for the cohomology HS G mod L. By considering the harmonic spinners mod L, which will contain the harmonic spinners on G mod H and H mod L, I'll call it a spin prime tensor, another spin, one for G mod H and one for H mod L. And for this, what you can do is replace the finite dimensional E mu by this. And in this example, you can see sort of what everything is. Here is H, that's the SPT. The SPQ is here. And we take the parabolic to have A, the diagonal stuff here. So that would be A. And then the H mod L will be SPP mod UP, and this will in fact be a discrete series representation. And one can construct an intertwining operator just as I did before, replacing the finite dimensional with this. Then you get L2 sections, and this observation will tell you that they are harmonic forms. And then one can also show that the invariant form is non-zero, and the on the image of the intertwining map, the invariant form is non-zero, and its null space is the image of del bar. And so you get a positive definite form on cohomology because it's kernel mod image. Okay, so let me stop with that.